This morning, what I want to do is I want to bring to you some thoughts from Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 12. And I want you to look at the bulletin just for a quick moment on the back of the panel there about building upon a foundation of obedience. It is so true. First of all, I was thinking through Old Testament history, and I saw this, we all saw this come to pass. But then also when he was reading, and I was thinking of various individuals that I know, and some went really well, and some of their lives didn't go well. And what I want to do here today is, regardless of where we are in our life, I want us today to build in a greater way a foundation of obedience. And I guess this is kind of neat because I guess he doesn't quite have them in a spanking position, like I kiddingly said, but we'll say this here is a position of discipleship, a position of teaching. And what this father is going to be doing here is teaching his child to obey, that it may go well with him, and that his days may be long upon the earth, and that he may prosper. So as you see there on the back of the bulletin there, there is a challenge for obedience. And if we get lost in all the details or the various illustrations or just my verbiage, I don't want you to lose the challenge that you and I have for obedience. And though I have just an Old Testament passage here on the bulletin, you and I could think of countless New Testament passages that also challenge us to be obedient to the words of God. Then point number two is the benefits from obedience. And again, you and I, we've seen it in our own lives. We've seen it played out in the lives of others. We've even seen it nationally. Those who obey God, God honors. If you honor me, I will honor you. Then we see again, and this is where some of it is wanting to go, my thoughts for Father's Day, point number three, the benefit for future obedience. So this is where, again, if I don't tag fathers' names a lot, I know we've got more people here than just fathers, but fathers, you have a great responsibility, and you must do due diligence to teach your children the benefit of future obedience. Hey, kids, I know life is hard, but if you go live your life biblically, it will be less harder. Relationships are hard. Marriage at times is hard. Those of us who have children, parenting is sometimes difficult, but it's far less difficult when we obey the biblical principles for us. Then there's going to be point number four, the challenge to build the future on the past. You know, those who do not learn from the past are condemned to repeat it. And we see that cyclical event most classically represented in the Bible in the book of Judges. Again and again, this cycle just continues and it just doesn't end. And it doesn't end very well for them. So we need to remember the past and build upon it. And then there's some challenges for us today. So, here we are back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, again, what you have here is, well, we need to give a backstory. If you remember, it was God who called Moses from a burning bush and said, listen, I want you to go down to Egypt and bring my people out of bondage from the house of Egypt. I want you to give them freedom. And Moses says, oh, you know, I'm a slow speech and, you know, I'm not a very good speaker. And God said, hey, listen, Moses, who made your tongue? Who made your mouth? But if you need a mouthpiece, take Aaron. So he grabbed his brother Aaron. They go down to Egypt, and we have all the plagues of Egypt. And some of you saw, what was it, National Geographic or some company put together some of the history, the Bible, and maybe you saw the Hollywood's rendition of those miraculous displays of God's power. And to make a long story short, at the end of it, the last plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn, when the angel of death would pass over the house that had the blood on the top and the sides of the door. Moses was allowed to take the people out. So they took them out. They went to the mountain. God gave them the Ten Commandments and many other commandments. And as we read there in Deuteronomy 4, he says, when you heard the voice of God, they literally did. In fact, it was quite a terrifying thing. In fact, they basically said, you know, Moses, tell God we don't want to hear this anymore. So you do your thing with Moses, and unfortunately, they did their thing with Aaron. And what was that? Yeah, the golden calf, which is kind of sad. But in any event, they get all that. They come to the promised land, and God allows them to send out spies. Let's do a little recon. Let's do a little reconnoitering. Let's find out what's up, what we're up against. So we got one spy from each of the 12 tribes go out. 10 of the tribes come back, and what do they basically say? Not going to happen. We cannot do this. They have fortified walls. They've got these iron machines and chariots, and we're but grasshoppers in their sight. Not going to happen. And what did the other two say? We can whoop them. We got God on our side. Listen, God just brought us out of Egypt and all the just miraculous displays of his power, the parting of the Red Sea. We can whoop them. But the people followed the majority, and they said, forget it. And God says, okay, well, it's forgotten. All of you, age 20 and older, you will die, and you will never enter the promised land. So then they go down into the wilderness, and for the next, and I'm using round figures, 40 years, all they did was bury, I don't know, about 1 million or so people. After 40 years of wandering, round numbers, they come back to the promised land again, and they're kind of on the verge of it. Moses gets up there, and he gives these four sermons, which are recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. At the end of the fourth sermon, as you know, he dies. The people who are there, there's nobody over the age of 60, because 20 years old and older have died. So you've got this new generation, this new people, a new society. It's just a time of new beginnings. And besides, Moses says, I'm dying, and you're going to have a new leader. Joshua is going to take over. So it's a time of beginning, a time of newness. They're on the verge of the promised land. And again, Moses wants to just one more time warn them. One more time challenge them. You got to obey this God. You got to obey God. You got to obey God. Because Moses knew the past. And he knew that those who would obey the scripture would be then the foundation. They would be the ones that God could use to build this nation and make it successful. And unfortunately, as you and I know, it happened for a brief period of time under David and Solomon, and then that was it. Now, before we get into the text, I want you to jump over to chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And I just want you to notice just something that's rather interesting about how important obedience is to God. In Deuteronomy 28, but if you look at just quickly scan through some of the verses, verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass if there are certain key words or passages or verses that you like. You ought to have them dog-eared, note, underlined or something. But here again, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations, and all these blessings shall come upon you, if you obey. And then the next 14 verses, he tells them all the blessings that God will give them if they will obey. But then you go to verse 15, chapter 28, verse 15, and it says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these verses or all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, if you go to the end of the chapter, you'll see there's 68 verses. And the last verse, 68, doesn't end very well either. It says, and the Lord shall take you back to Egypt in ships. Hey, we just left there 40 years ago. But God is saying, listen, if you do not obey me, you're going back into bondage. You shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female servants. But no one will buy you. 14 verses. God says, listen, if you obey me, we're going to have some good times ahead. There will be some rough times, but overall, we're going to have good times ahead. Then from verses 15 to the last verse, we're going to have some difficult times. If you do not obey me, there's going to be difficult times. Now, according to Deuteronomy 28, why does God, you think, give so much emphasis on the negative and just 14 verses on the positive? Why do you think that is? B's laughing over there. Some of us are chuckling as well. I think the answer is obvious. You know, it's like Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned everyone to his own way. God's needing to really remind us, listen, I'm serious about this. This is very important that you obey me because there's tremendous blessings that come. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 4. And let's just have just a very quick word of prayer just to once again give us clarity of thought. And then I want to hit these points here for you. So again, Father, we just come before you just asking that some of these songs and the truths in these songs that we have been reminded of will be in the forefront of our mind. Father, I know as I can see there's not a lot of people here today. They're gone visiting. Some of us here, I know, are going to be leaving right after the service to meet up with other family members, a lot of care and concern. We may be thinking, wondering, oh my goodness, I hope that timer in the stove kicked in or we're going to be eating some raw food. But Father, just help us to put all those cares and concerns away for just, what, 15, 20 minutes? For just a few moments, Father, and help us just to focus in on your word and our relationship to your word. And then as we take it just one step further, what is the role that we should have as mentors teaching the next generation? What is our role as parents teaching our children the importance of obedience? So again, Father, time remaining, work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 says, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God, your fathers, gave to me. Fourth word in, now, O Israel, listen. This is kind of like the teacher, and some, we don't have too many kids here today, but some of you who have had the final exam studies, some of you kids who may be having your final exam studies, you know, sometimes just before the exam is given, the teacher gives you kind of a class period of an overview to study up, to review on it, and the teacher says, today is not the day to go to sleep. Today is not the day to be texting. I'm basically going to be telling you in broad strokes what's on the test. And if you pay attention and go home and further work this through, you will do well. Well, I don't know if this is necessarily a classroom situation, but that idea lesson is the same idea. Listen, guys, don't be paying attention to the donkeys or the camels running around. Let me get your attention here. This is very important. Listen. Because your whole destiny depends upon it. Your whole life depends upon it. Future generations depend upon it. Listen. This is very, very important. There is a test coming, and it's the test of life. In verse 2, he says, you must obey it completely. Notice again the wording of it. You shall not add to the word, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. He's saying, listen now, you must obey it and only it. Can't be adding to it, can't be taking it away from you. What I've given you is exactly what I want you to do, and obey it. Notice verse 5. He goes on there to say, surely I have taught you the statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God has commanded me that you should act accordingly. Listen, I want you to observe them. Verse 5, that you should act. Notice again verse 9. He says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. Listen, here is the challenge for obedience. You must obey my word. You must obey all of it and only it. And here, my friends, today is our challenge for obedience. And you know all the New Testament commands. We got all the one another's. We've got all the communication commands. We have all the relationship commands. We have all the separation commands. And the force of it is today as well. You must obey it and only it. The benefit from it, and this is so exciting. In verses 3 of Deuteronomy 4, he says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. How many of you remember what happened at Baal Peor? Grab your Bibles and go to Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9. Let me tell you what happened at Baal Peor. Now Israel remained in Acadia, grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was roused against them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal Peor." And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented his brethren, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague had stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. Now back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 3. "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God had destroyed among you all the men who followed after Baal Peor. Here is the benefits for obedience. You are alive today because you did not give in to peer pressure. You are alive today because you did not give in to the fleshly carnal desires of the flesh. You are alive here today because you did not worship false gods." Here's some benefits from obedience. You are alive today, and also as you go a little bit further there, you're going to enter into the promised land. Verse 5. He says, "Act according in the land, the bottom of it, which you go to possess." Listen, there's 24,000 people who did not obey. There's 24,000 people who gave in to this fleshly, carnal, sexual appetite. There's 24,000 who gave in to the peer pressure of worshiping false gods, fitting in with the culture, being acceptable to the non-Jew, and they lost their lives. But you, because you resisted yesterday's temptation, you're alive today. And there's some benefits of it. Now, it's too bad for your uncle Zimri, and we didn't read that, so just back up a few pages again to chapter 25, verse 14. Numbers 25, verse 14. "The name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu." So it's too bad about your uncle Zimri. He gave in to peer pressure and he died as a result of it. And again, we can see many New Testament passages that show us the benefit of obedience. If nothing else, Galatians 5, 6 and 7. You know, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And again, you and I, we can start today sowing some great seeds, looking forward to a rich harvest. In verses 4 through 8, back in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, we have the benefits of future obedience. In verse 6 of Deuteronomy 4, he says, "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all people who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people.'" Now again, we got to put the context into play. The context into play is 40 years earlier, all they were doing was making bricks. There was not a lot of higher education going on. There was not a lot of skill sets being taught and learned, but making bricks. And for the last 40 years, all they've been doing around is going around wandering in the desert, burying people. And now when they come into civilizations that have been going on since the flood, these civilizations, these infrastructures, these societies are going to look at these wandering around in the desert 40 years burying people, and they're going to say, "Wow, these are brilliant people." You see that there in verse 6? What a great nation is there. Where does that wisdom come from? The Bible. Being obedient. And again, think through what these people had to do. These people had to do what Haiti has still not yet been able to do. Remember the huge hurricane that wiped basically Haiti off the face of the earth? What I understand is we still got Jeffrey Garrison down there in the Dominican Republic on the west side of that island. Haiti's still not in very good shape. Okay? But what these people have to do is the same thing. They have to develop a national infrastructure. They need to, again, come up with water and transportation. They have to come up with their own set of rules for economics and financial. They have to come up with their own legal code, taxation, land assignments, civil laws, religious laws, government. I mean, all of a sudden they're just being thrown in the midst of this, and the people who are around them, you know, we got the Pharisees and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the otherites. They're going to look at these people and go, wow, that's amazing. We ought to copy that. But again, where did they get it? They got it from the Bible. They got it from God's word and just obeying them. Notice verse 7, some of the benefits of future obedience. Verse 7, these Philistines, which were one of them that really plagued them for many times, these Philistines are going to say there in verse 7, in what great nation is there that has God so near to it? As the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him. They're going to be looking and they're going to say, you know, these guys have such a close relationship with God. It's like they have a God on a leash. And it seems like whatever they tell God to do, God does it. And then as we go down to verse 8, he says, you're going to have a perfect foundation for the future. He says, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments that are in this law that I set before you this day? You know, here is going to be the foundation for building this new nation, and it's going to be without equal, and it's going to be continued adequate for, well, many years to go. And we've even had our nation some few hundred years ago establish our country on many of these same biblical laws. But equity and justice is found only in the Bible and in the accurate application of it. God has given these people a perfect foundation from which to build a new nation, a new society, a new culture. And Moses is basically saying in kind of another way as we look at 6, 7, and 8, he's saying, listen, don't forget who brought you here. And I see that by he continually says, obey it. Don't forget it. Obey it. Don't forget who brought you here. But if you will obey God and remember that it was he who brought you here, we've got good days ahead. He also is saying, don't be looking for something better. You don't need to be chasing down what the Amorites are doing or what the Philistines are doing or go back down to Egypt. We got enough right here. It's perfect. All we have to do is do what God has told us to do. Now, we're not going to be able to finish it. But with just the material that we've covered so far today, isn't it true? Isn't what the Bible has said so far here to verse 8 true? I mean, many of us here are still married. Why? We've done what the Bible has told us to do. Many of us are literally alive today because we've done what the Bible has told us to do. I mean, we've grown up with some friends that maybe weren't too crazy about God or religion. And I do know of a couple friends who are dead. Even within our family, some of them have not gone the way of the Lord, and they are dead. One was murdered, suicide, and various things. We're alive today, many of us, because, or all of us, because we have obeyed God's word. We're enjoying our relationships because of God's word. Or let me just put it this way. Within life, there's all kinds of landmines. And landmines do maim, destroy, cripple, kill. But as we have obeyed God's word, for many of us, we have circumvented. We have avoided many of those landmines that many of our peers have stepped on. And they're still living and life is still going on, but they're maimed. They're crippled. There's lasting damages. But we have been spared from that because we have obeyed God's word. And then just real quickly, and that is we need to build the future on the past. Again, verse 9, take heed to yourself. And then a couple more lines in my Bible, and it says, lest you forget. Do not forget the past events there in verse 9. In verse 9, he also says there in the bottom of it, and teach them to your children. Dads, get your attention here. You need to be a good Bible scholar in that you are teaching your children the ways of God. You must train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You must not be provoking them to wrath, exasperating them, frustrating them. But you must be nurturing them and growing them up in the ways and in the obedience to God. Verse 10, he goes on again and he says, do not forget where the day you heard God's words. Verse 11, do not forget the miracles. And then in verse 12, again, do not forget the words you heard. The past can be the foundation for the future. Building the foundation of obedience. If we will but obey God, and here again, let me say it this way. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband. But even in the areas where I have fallen short, I can start planting seeds today that is going to make me a better pastor, a better father, a better husband. You know, sometimes we use Galatians 5, 6, 7, and 8 as, see the trouble you're in, Michael? That's because what you did in the past. And that is true. He's reaping a harvest that he sowed in the past. But why can't we start sowing seeds today? And then later on, like literally this fall, we can start reaping our tomatoes and our asparagus or zucchini or... But we could plant the seeds today that will bring us a rich harvest in the future. The challenge for obedience, we must listen carefully. We need to obey completely. It is our life. 24,000 did not listen. They did not keep it, and it cost them their lives. And as you go home and maybe open up your yearbook of whatever it is, or get together even with your family reunions, you can be thinking of people who are not alive today or are suffering a much harder life. The benefit for future obedience, we can just enjoy the fullness of God. The challenge, we need to build the future from the past. All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. First of all, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? I guess that's the question we need to begin with. Has there been a point in your life where you have recognized your sin, that you need a personal Savior, Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in Him? Faith and trust in Him to forgive you of all your sins? Faith and trust in Him to give you a home in heaven? Said another way, do you know for sure today that if you were to die, your eyes would open and you would be in heaven? Do you know that for sure? If you don't know that for sure, if you haven't contemplated your sin in relationship to God, maybe Easter is just a holiday, we get a few days off from work. If you're not sure how Easter and the Lord's resurrection plays into your salvation, we'd love to talk to you. I'm going to be back there at that door that you walked in, the front door, and I'd be happy to get some contact information and we could sit down and talk with you. But probably all of you here today are believers in Jesus Christ. And the question is, have you been listening to God's word? Have you been obedient to God's word? In what area has the Holy Spirit been working on this morning saying, hey, Dan, I want you to start paying attention to this. I want you to start obeying in this area. What area is the Lord telling you? And then how are you going to go about doing that? So, Father, again, I thank you for these who have come out this day. I thank you, Father, for just your working through our service here today. Thank you for working in my heart. I thank you, Father, for, again, that you are a living God and you want the best for us. If we but obey, or, well, it's again, it's Romans 2, 9 and 10. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 2, 10 says, but glory, honor, and peace upon every soul that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God is not a respecter of persons. So, Father, I pray that we will be more in tune to your leading and guiding in your life as revealed to us in your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.